Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to the third and final hour for today of the program. We have the mayor of New Bedford, as we usually do. Yeah, Mayor, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing all right, Chris. This is a glorious day.
Isn't it glorious?
Finally, it feels like summertime.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good. I drove by earlier this morning. I drove by this will be sort of a commercial, right? But
yeah,
I drove by the National Club. I was just struck by how all the chairs are out. It's like open seating and all that, which is great, and facing out to the waterfront. And it opened back in the fall, so now's the first time we're finally getting to see what it looks like in the summertime, sort of facing out to the central waterfront, which looked good. So, as I know, it's a little free advertising for those guys, which is fine. But it feels like summer. Yeah, it's good.
And ServeWell has put a lot of really good investments into the city, opened a lot of really good restaurants. I was talking about, I was down at Cisco over the weekend and regularly at Black Whale, and as you point out, the National Club.
Yeah.
I know Natalie's been there. I don't think I've been there yet.
The National Club?
To the Mexican.
You probably would.
Oh, I was there at the old days. Oh, in the old days, I was there.
Yeah.
I went there before it closed. So, to say I've been there.
It's a very different National Club.
It is a very different National Club. Mayor, what's happening in the city?
Well, Chris, lots are happening. Well, so we had, number of things, right? Graduation season, obviously happening. We've got Oak Tech's graduation was great last Friday. We got it in just as it was starting to rain, which is good. But that went really well. And Bedford High is tomorrow. Global Learning is on Sunday, and a number of the other high schools in the region. I think they've all had their graduations already. A lot of them last weekend. So we're getting toward the end of that. Of course, the budget season we're still in the middle of, and mm-hmm. What we're trying to do now is just frankly. So we're having discussions with the unions, and which I think have been productive about getting a more common understanding of some of the city's fiscal challenges, the same challenges we've been talking about for a long time here, mm-hmm. As you and I know, challenges around healthcare and pensions and the rising cost of everything, but also on the revenue side of the equation, a real diminishment in real terms of state aid. State aid's a problem. That's why you're seeing municipal employees getting laid off across Massachusetts right now. A lot of that's coming home to roost, and we hope the state legislature is actually going to be able to do something meaningful there. But understanding that has taken, it's harder these days to talk about especially on social media, a topic as complex as municipal finance.
Right.
And so that's why I think radio is a better medium for that. So when we have these conversations, hopefully, as we talk about it in different ways, we'll achieve a broader understanding.
Mm-hmm.
We're looking at, as we discussed, a sizable gap in the municipal budget. This has been long in coming. And in the last couple, last year, it started to come home to roost in a very clear way when we announced a hiring freeze, when we decided, at least initially, to close a library, and that ended up resulting in diminished library hours. So, the writing's been on the wall for a while, and what we hope is that we're going to be able to get things on a better track. Obviously, I don't take any delight in laying off people or reducing services, fire services or after school services or anything else or any of the other services that we're reducing. But there are steps that we need to take now. I believe, and at least in the coming months, that we'll get things on a better footing. Because we don't want the city to have to go lurch from fiscal year to fiscal year, having to cut and reduce services and certainly not lay off employees anymore than we have. So, but we also need to make sure that there's a really clear discussion here, and there's an agreement about facts. I mean, I've heard things suggested even by elected officials here that are just I think really don't get at the nub of the matter. We've got elected officials who say, well, let's just cut, you know, things like cell phones and travel and you know, the ability for city employees to take their official cars back home. Like, that's, you know, going to save on a half a gallon of gas every month. That's just, that's not those aren't meaningful changes, nor is like the suggestion that the city is somehow like promoting a lot of people and goosing up the cost of personnel. I mean, in the normal course of business in any city, their positions, they get recharacterized because people start, especially when times are tight and people start doing more work than their job description covers. In order to keep them, you've got to make some adjustments along the way, but those are routine. And like in last year's budget, that amounted to less than $200,000 of adjustments for union and non-union employees altogether. So it's not much money. It's like this city government's a large organization. It's not static. Things have to be able to manage the place. So like those suggestions are really just not, frankly, just not all that germane to like the underlying problem here, which is you've got these big cost pressures on city government, and we have a limited ability to deal with some of them. But it, to the extent that we have any ability, that hasn't been exercised, and so that's why we're having some constructive conversations with the unions, but we'll see how that shakes out. But that's my, as I sit here, I'll say to the audience that we have to fix this, and it's going to require some level of sacrifice in the short run to put ourselves in a better position in the long run. That's what we're doing, and I'm determined to allow that, to make that happen, as opposed to kicking the can down the road or engaging in some gimmickry around budgeting. We're not doing that.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here. I'm taking your calls. Mayor, people certainly welcome to talk about the budget. We've been talking about it for years.
Yeah, really. We've been talking about it for years, and I'm glad some people are raising questions now. I encourage the questions because some of this is not intuitive, and I am a little troubled by some of the suggestions by people who I think, frankly, should know better. That you know, you can use one-time money to fix one problem, or that somehow like these minor cuts can make a real difference in anything, right? It's for show. Like it sounds good to people, but it's not meaningful.
Right.
And so I encourage people to ask questions. I'll do my best to answer them, and if I can't get the number right in the moment, I will make sure that we follow up and let people know what the exact number is. So I just want to be as transparent as possible.
Mayor, the mayor's list, the annual ceremony highlighting the top 10 academically ranked New Bedford High School seniors, is this afternoon?
It is. This is something we started some time ago, really my first year in office. Remember that, you know, back then we were in the midst of fending off a state takeover of the school system, and there was a whole lot of hand-wringing going on about the state of our schools, and we worked very hard to get the schools on the right track, and things are very different these days overall in the school department, right? And we now, but one of the things that I wanted to do is just to make sure that amid all the sort of the tension and the changes and everything, that we're still recognizing high achievement. I just thought it was very important. Mm-hmm. For us to ensure that the children, students who are working hard and achieving at a high standard are recognized for doing that, because that's important to everybody. We want our values to be communicated very clearly. So we established the mayor's list, right? It kind of sounds like the dean's list. But the idea is to recognize those students who are in the top 10 at New Bedford High School. And to highlight where they're going to college. So we've had that's what we do. So that's in the importance of it is that it's objective. You're either in the top 10 or you're not.
Right.
And there's not, you know, a prize for effort or anything like that. There are other prizes for effort, like awards or senior awards night and all that. But And that's appropriate, but this is different. It's objective. And so we've had, so we're doing that today. And I think it's something that's been very well received over the years. We've had, and you'll see that New Bedford's top 10, the students on the Mayor's List have really gone off to America's, so many of them these days have gone off to America's most competitive colleges. And so that we certainly want to tout that fact.
Yes.
That is, that at New Bedford High, you have a competitive advantage. I think it's been demonstrated in getting into really good schools. In the last six graduating classes, including this one, we've had 11 students get admitted to Harvard. So that's a pretty good run.
Yes, it is.
And so people need to know that about New Bedford High. They're kids getting into all kinds of great schools, and they're getting scholarships and doing very well. And so we need to part of the goal of this ceremony is to allow everybody to know that. To enable everybody to know that New Bedford High is a good place to send your kid to school.
I noticed, Mayor, that among the top 10 kids, one of them is a school choice student. He comes from one of the neighboring suburbs. Talk about that.
Well, we've had a number of students who've excelled over the years, but who've gone through the school choice process, but who even though they don't live in New Bedford, have gone to New Bedford High School in part because of the competitiveness of because of the rigor of the academic programs. Mm-hmm. We offer more AP programs than anywhere else for within a 30-mile radius of here. Because of the scale of the school, it offers all sorts of programs and more sports, more everything. It benefits from those economies of scale. So smaller isn't always better when it comes to high school. I think a lot of parents say, well, I want to send my kid to a small school. And that's fine. You do right by your kid, but it isn't the best thing for every kid. In our case, we sent all three of our girls to New Bedford High,
right.
And I think they benefited from having that scale and the extent of all the offerings. And I think a lot of parents who've sent their kids to New Bedford High School would attest to the same. So a number of parents in New Bedford suburbs have said, yeah, that makes sense to me. And so they've sent their kids to New Bedford High School.
Yeah, it's really, and you were here a couple of weeks ago trying to encourage people from the suburbs to look at New Bedford High School as an option.
I think, some of it's in my own personal bias. I will admit all my kids went there, but they all had a really good experience academically and athletically and otherwise socially. And so I think there's a lot to be said for it. It's not to say, oh, this high school's better than that one or whatever. I don't think I can engage in those kinds of comparisons. But what I will say is that New Bedford High School has really demonstrated itself to be very effective in launching kids to America's most competitive colleges, as demonstrated by the kids who are been in the Mayor's top 10. And so if that's something that's important to a parent, they should give it some consideration.
Yeah. We're the Mayor of New Bedford here. We're going to take a break, then we'll be back. He'll take your calls at 508-996-0500. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This portion of programming on WBSM is brought to you by Dee's Hot Dogs in New Bedford, where you can get two hot dogs, chips, and a soda for just $6.
South Coast Now with Chris McCarthy, weekdays on 1420 AM and 99.5 FM, WBSM.
That's off the Mayor's playlist. He comes in strong. Mayor, why did you select that song? Other than the obvious.
Well, I like it.
Yeah.
I think I heard it. Played the other day, and I was like, "All right, I don't think I've done that one yet." So let's put that one on. Yeah,
yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
Mayor, we'll be taking calls later in the morning.
Sounds good.
508-996-0500. Speaking of music, the Summer Sound Series kicks off June 26th. Weekly free concerts downtown. A lot of people liked it. Actually, I saw an advertising campaign for it on Channel 12 over the weekend. Mentions my brother. I think he's playing in that.
I think he is.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think he's charged you guys a lot.
He's played a few times.
Yeah.
It's a great series, and it toggles each week between Lower Union by all the restaurants, as well as and then on the other weeks Purchase Street, and so it's worked out very well. It's been a great series. Lots of people come out for it. It's free.
Yeah,
and we've got some great sponsors. Channel 12's covering it because Channel 12 is actually one of the sponsors, okay. which is good. Channel 12 also. Sponsors the feast and has for a while, so we appreciate that and all the other sponsors who do it. But it's worked pretty well. It brings people out, and then when they get done, they go spend money in the businesses downtown, which is a good thing. So yeah, people should come out. So it's almost every Friday. They skip the Friday of the feast the first weekend in August. Because the feast is going on, and a lot of people go up to the North End for that. But yeah, come on out if you haven't heard it, and yeah, listen to Chris's brother. Maybe get Chris on stage too.
Maybe
as a cameo.
Maybe a cameo appearance. You never know if you don't get enough of me here. So, Mayor, what else is going on in the city of New Bedford that you'd like to talk about?
Oh boy,
things going with the unions? In other words, you've decided. You've been working on this problem for years. The finances.
The problem of the finances. Pressures on our finances.
Yeah, and you've got some real solutions, I think. People don't always agree with them, but that's what negotiations are about. Reducing fire crews down to three-person crews, three firemen per five people, whatever. Firefighters per unit of equipment. And talk about that.
Well, obviously a lot of people have been talking about that, and I get it. It's like people should know, like, obviously we don't want to lay people off. Obviously we don't want to cut back public safety capacity, right? But what I would say to you is, like, we've got a budget problem here that has been years in the making. Mm-hmm. and I've urged a lot of folks to say, city council, like, we've got to make some changes, unions, as well as the state legislature, which is, again, it's the state aid is just dropped off in real terms, and it's put a tremendous amount of pressure, and that's why you're seeing, again, layoffs around the state. As far as we've proposed three men or three persons per piece, mm-hmm. because that is the prevailing practice in Massachusetts. And so we saw that data point. We heard from the fire union president on this show.
Yes.
Acknowledged that only three departments out of nearly 300 in Massachusetts, mm-hmm. have mandate that four firefighters would be on every apparatus. It's not to say that four is a bad idea. It's just, if it's New Bedford, Brookline, and Boston, and, you know, some people are familiar with Brookline, and certainly people are familiar with Boston, those they just have a much greater ability to pay for enhanced staffing like that. And so, you know, what we'd say is, you know, look, you have to take a look at that. If we had three, if they went to three men per piece, if they agreed to it, there's a requirement in the collective bargaining agreement.
Explain that.
So the bargaining agreement with the union says four persons, may actually say four men per piece. And so that has, so the union, so we, I can't just reduce it down to three.
Right.
If I can't just say, you know, we're only going to carry three. That requires bargaining with the union. The union doesn't want to go to three. I get why that. I'm not saying that they're taking a bad faith position in insisting on it. But the reality is, I can't just order it. If we went to three persons per piece, now there wouldn't be any issue with shutting down Engine 9, right? If we did what 99% of the fire department, literally 99% of the fire departments do in Massachusetts, we wouldn't be shutting off Engine 9, period, full stop. And so, look, sometimes you've got to bargain these things, but I do think that's something that folks need to come to terms with. Now, what the union would say is that the national standards that they you know, we strive to adhere to, say, four men per piece. And again, I get it, mm-hmm. but like nobody, hardly anybody in Massachusetts is doing that.
Right.
And the sky hasn't fallen. So that's been our position. I'm happy to talk about it with the union, and we've had some discussions about that. But I would just say, like, I get it. Nobody wants to shut down a fire engine mm-hmm. anywhere in the city. We've been able to reduce greatly the number of structure fires in the last several years. Since we beefed up the fire prevention office, yes. We've reassigned a number of people there, and we created a new education position that I think is helpful. We've seen a 43% drop in structure fires.
Really?
That's just in a 3-year period. That's a lot.
That's a lot.
So they're doing a good job with inspections. I think we could use still more inspectors, and
okay.
I think if we did, we'd see a further decline in structure fires in the city. And it's best, after all, for fires never to occur.
Than to have them
occur and cause damage and threaten people's lives, and then to put them out. Right, we're good at suppression. Right, putting out the fires, mm-hmm. But we also need to be good, even better at prevention. And so I think, you know, in some ways the fire department is understaffed in prevention, but the way we suppress is really an outlier in Massachusetts. In other words, having a 4-man minimum.
Okay.
And so I think that it is a fair question to ask. And some people might say, well, and as I flipped on the radio from time to time, I've heard comments like this, like, well, shouldn't the mayor's not a firefighter, shouldn't he be deferring to their expertise? And I'd say to people, we have expertise across city government. We mm-hmm. have expertise in fire and police. We have a zoo. I don't know anything about animal husbandry or running of zoos. I don't zoological caretaking. I don't know much about how to run an airport. I don't know much about the wastewater system. So yeah, we have a lot of experts
sure.
in city government that I defer to, but my job is to ask the critical questions,
right.
Like, tell me why we have to do it this way. And
right.
what I expect from our department heads is to be able to articulate why we spend money on things that we do, why we operate the way we do, mm-hmm. how we're deploying resources, in other words, money, the way we do. And I give that expertise some deference, but I don't blindly say yes to everything.
Right.
I mean, like, one of my favorite examples about expertise in city government is you know, the famous episode when the 90s, when the zoo was partially shut down, they were walking Emily and Ruth down Kempton Street. And that, because the zookeeper at the time thought, well, they needed some exercise, right? Not a good idea. So they walked through Dunkin' Donuts. I don't just say, okay, well, you're an expert. Whatever you say goes.
Right.
I have to ask the question. So, like, in the case of a fire engine, my question is, well, so if it is the case, and these numbers come from the state union, that literally 99% of the fire departments in Massachusetts
right.
have less than 4 firefighters per piece, isn't it a fair question to say, well, if we shouldn't we do that, especially if that's what it'll take to keep open engine 9?
Right.
So these are the questions I ask. So I mean, some people like just don't want to hear it, but like, I don't get to. My job is to reason through these things,
yes.
and that's. I don't think that's an unfair question for us to be asking. So, that's our position. But there's also, you know, look, there's a lot of other things that, you know, we're concerned about. The healthcare. How much? You know, we're pretty generous when it comes to healthcare. We pay 75% of the premiums. That's a lot.
Yes.
Probably more than we can afford to do. Lots of our retirement system is not fully funded. We continue to raise the cost of living adjustments for retirees, which is itself fine, although frankly the cost of living adjustments exceed the rate of inflation. So that's adding still more to the bill. But we're at a point now where even as meritorious as it might be to keep up pension payments with the cost of living, we just can't afford to be doing that right now. Not while we're eliminating positions all over city government. So I just ask people, like municipal, we get paid to understand municipal finance. Before I was mayor, this isn't something that I followed as closely as I do now.
Yes.
I have to in my job. But I would just ask everybody, I encourage everybody to ask critical questions. And if it doesn't sound plausible to you, then you might just say, look, it's maybe they have a point. Like, does the mayor delight in laying off employees? No, I don't. Right. I went to employees in city government. I had to tell them, look, I have to eliminate your jobs. Mm-hmm. In some cases, the people have been working their entire careers in city government. I don't take any pleasure in that. I don't take any pleasure in laying off firefighters who've trained to be in their positions and who, you know, frankly, are doing a good job, and we want to see them succeed in their
career. Right.
That's not it. We're just at a point now because some decisions have been deferred. Mm-hmm. State increases in state aid, reining in health care and pension costs. Those cans have been kicked down the road time and time again. You and I have talked about it again and again and again on this program. I've talked about it in virtually every state of the city address, at least in the last decade.
Yep.
Same thing with budget addresses. Same thing with numerous other public appearances over the years. And at some point, I don't know, maybe people didn't believe me, but like that's the way it is.
Right.
And so like people should ask themselves what makes sense and what doesn't. I think that's something we should all be doing in an age of social media when you see a lot of stuff that doesn't jibe.
Right.
Like there was this rumor on the internet that the mayor gave himself a pay raise amid all this stuff, which is just a complete nonsense, right? But it like there people were said, oh, that's true. That's no, it's not true. And like I have wind of some people who I think would know better, like sort of buying into it. And I think this is kind of troubling that
right.
people are just accepting things that ought not make sense to them.
Right.
So we're going to get to, I'll just say to you, we're going to solve this problem.
Yes.
And as much as I think that there are others that need to, that needed to step up along the way here and didn't, we're going to fix it. And I think there are good fixes and then there are some fixes that are not good enough. And so we're going to push hard to do it the right way. And that's my pledge to folks in the city.
We have the mayor of New Bedford here. We're going to take a break. If you're on hold, stay there. We'll get to the phones when we come back at 508-996-0500. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Back to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now on WBSM. Call 508-996-0500.
Donna Summer off the mayor's playlist. The mayor of New Bedford is here. This hour is brought to you by the cold beer and the world's best chicken wings at Rose Alley Ale House in downtown New Bedford. Nice day to sit on the deck at Rose Alley.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a good day, right?
Yeah, it's a good day to be to dine out anywhere.
Yes.
It's supposed to be perfect today. Yeah, it looks good.
Looks good out there, right? All right, we're going to start taking some phone calls here with the mayor. Good morning. Thanks for holding. You're on with the mayor.
Good morning, Chris. Good morning, Mayor.
Good morning.
I appreciate all the work that you do for the city. You know, the time, the effort, the forethought that goes into it. I honestly do. But I have questions about some of the decisions. And I'm going to ask two questions, and then I'm going to hang up and listen. Two very direct questions. Why, when the city is suffering as it is, would you continue to back Maura Healey and a lot of the legislature that are responsible for the decisions? And also, if the legislature decided to repeal, or whoever the next governor is, decided to change the tax rates so that more stayed with the cities and towns instead of in the hands of the legislature and have to grovel for some of it back. Would you advocate for that? Thank you.
Thanks for the call.
I wasn't sure I followed the second question, Chris.
Change the tax rate.
In other words, she's wondering if, and there isn't, I think a lot of people are under the misconception there's a formula. You've pointed out there isn't a formula for unrestricted local aid.
No.
So
there hasn't been in 15 years or so, 16 years. Yeah. Yeah. Well, so yeah, there should be a formula for state aid.
Right.
And I would submit that's that one criterion should be need. That could be defined in a number of ways, median household income or some other way, but that's something that. That I think we should do. We've talked about Maura Healey, and I have a good relationship with her, and frankly, going back to college, she was a year behind me in college, same university, and so that relationship is good for New Bedford,
mm-hmm.
and so when it comes time to getting money for specific things.
Okay.
There aren't too many mayors that go back to college with the sitting governor.
Right.
And so that's why we can get money for, I will tell you, like this week, a $14.75 million match for the grant federal grant we're applying for Homer's Wharf. That was yesterday, 2 days ago. Because I can call them up and say, this is what the city needs. So, and there are lots of examples of that. So, yeah, do I agree that they did not address the immigrant, the illegal immigrant housing issue? Yeah, I agree. And I told her that. So, but do I have to agree with her on everything to make a decision about supporting her or not? No. I didn't, when do you agree with anybody 100% of the time? We're all different. I have a lot of respect for her, but I also have a good relationship. And honestly, that relationship is a good thing for New Bedford.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I support her.
Who could win a game of horse? You or the governor?
Oh, her. She was a good basketball
player. Yeah, no.
Yeah, yeah. She was a legitimate college basketball player.
508-996-0500. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Yeah. Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah. First of all, I want to say I do support the mayor. I think a lot of people don't realize how big this city is and how hard it is to run a city like this. And I give the mayor a lot of credit for doing it. But my two questions, if I can get off everything else.
Mm-hmm.
I've lived in a city all my life. And you drive by now some of these properties and, you see grass that's like 2 feet high, even in my neighborhood here. And I don't know if there's an ordinance, that they have to keep their place clean.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is, like yard sale. I get a guy down the street. His yard sale is 24/7, 7 days a week.
Yep.
That it's no longer a yard sale. It's more like a business.
Yep.
I mean, is anything can be done about stuff like that?
Yeah. So, yeah, I'll take the grass one first.
Thanks for the call.
So the grass, yeah, there is an ordinance that says, yeah, you can't let the grass go too tall. And it's in, I can't remember the exact height. The issue there is not so much about looks, it's about rodent control, right? So if you get a tall grass, you can get a problem with rats, right? Because they like to live in tall grass. So we've fined people in that, but it becomes a tough thing sometimes because they literally go out with a ruler to measure it. And I figure out how high it is, but we have to sort of pick our battles because there are also some people, and we do this in parks, right? So there is this movement called, what is it, the No Mow May, Chris, I think it's called, which it means
No Mow May.
Right. Which is a school of thought that says that grass grows better and it becomes healthier if you hold off on mowing it for a while. Now, if you look at, say, Ashley Park, right, with that. We've let the grass grow there a little bit in part to keep that intact so that it's healthier, especially if we have drought conditions later on. So if you're doing that and then someone's lawn is about as high, it's kind of is that fair? They argue, is that fair? So And I think that's not an illegitimate point. So we try to pick our spot. So bottom line for everybody is you want to be fair about it. If you think someone's lawn is like way overgrown, call it in. We'll take a look at it. As far as yard sales go, no, the call is right. Yard sales are supposed to be episodic, and there are some people from time to time who just put stuff out on the curb every weekend,
right.
And it becomes more like a business. And if you're a business, well, you know, there's certain things triggering, like, for instance, the commercial tax rate, right? That's one thing. So you should let the city know, let the building department know, or let the neighborhood task force know about that, because they're not supposed to do that without a permit.
Right.
But, you know, look, try to be reasonable about that. Yeah. Some people put stuff out on yard sales, and that's fine. But yeah, it can't be a permanent thing.
No mow May. Do you observe that in the Mitchell household? I can just imagine me saying it to my father in the 80s.
Yes.
Hey, Dad, it's no mow May. I can't even get it out of my mouth. My father's been dead 20 years.
Yes. Happy no mow May to all those who celebrate, right?
We'll take a break and we'll be back. Stick around. More with the mayor of New Bedford. We'll be right back. John Mitchell here, taking your calls at 508-996-0500. We got some people on hold. I believe, if my caller ID is correct, this woman is the tree lady. Good morning. Thanks for holding.
Good morning.
Hello.
On 18, when you're coming down from 18 and you're going to take the exit to the Octopus, it's right behind Melville Towers.
Mm-hmm.
Someone came 3 days ago, came on a bicycle, opened the lawn chair, sat down, later on pitched a tent. Well, now, as far as I know, as of today, there's two tents there on that patch of grass on your left-hand side when you're going to take that exit to the Octopus. Now, my friend lives on that side, because I don't live on the side, but she looks down from her window, and that's when she told me about it. But I don't know if they're still there, but that's very dangerous.
Yeah.
And
we'll note it. We're noting it right now. We're going to go we'll have someone go take a look at it. But
as far as yesterday night, they were still there. Was they started one tent, then a second tent come the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm just, you know, and they're going to be, they just cut the grass maybe a couple of weeks ago. So they won't be back for a while to cut the grass. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Thank you for the call.
But anyways, you could check. It's very dangerous, especially, you know what I mean, on that area.
Yep.
Yogi and Boo Boo have set up camp looking for picnic baskets. So
Well, if people see tents, they should call them in, right? Yeah. We don't, like, again, the people who are homeless, we treat with compassion. We want to make sure we get them, do our best to get them into services. And at the same time, yeah, we don't do encampments here. You can't just set up and be there, live there, right, in public spaces. So that's been our policy for a long time. Some other cities do it a different way. Some other cities allow encampments. I just don't think it's a good idea for New Bedford. It's not good for the people who are in the encampments, I would emphasize. So,
what about a bus ticket program to places that do allow those encampments?
Well, that comes up a lot.
Mm-hmm.
What I would say to that, Chris, is a couple of things. So when we start bouncing people around, it's not good for them. I am concerned about the fact, the possibility. I think it's more than urban legend. I think there's some basis to it that it's not, when people say that they're sending people from Boston here, I don't think that's true as far as it goes, but there's sometimes we've seen shelters in other parts of Massachusetts who say, we're full, why don't you go to New Bedford?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen some of that, and I think that is frankly not good for them. It's not good for the city. And so if someone asked us for a train ticket to go back to Boston, if that's what happened, we would probably help them with the train ticket.
I've literally seen the minutes from select board meetings down the Cape where they say, go to New Bedford. It was years ago now, but it happened.
We haven't seen that, but no, look, people, shouldn't be allowed to happen. It's hard to know how much of that is actually happening. We do have people out there, and we're reporting more out there now to interact with the homeless population. A lot of what you see, for instance, around the bus station are folks who are not homeless, right?
Right.
So people should keep that in mind. It's not, that's a, probably the most visible area in the city of people who are hanging around, right? But a lot of, the vast majority of those people are either in the shelter down the south end, or they are living in single room occupancy housing somewhere in the city. And so we try to gain an understanding of where people are coming from, and it's not always easy because they don't always answer the question, like, where are you from, how long you been here, right? So we try to get that out of them, but we've spoken up in the past about other places that have suggested go to New Bedford because you can get a bed there. It's not good for those people. It's not good for the city.
Mayor, will we see you next week?
You will see me next week.
All right, Mayor, I appreciate you coming in. Go enjoy the day. Maybe you'll be at Rose Alley. Maybe I'll be at Rose Alley.
I wish.
Who knows, right? You got a busy day. I have less of a busy day. All right, Mayor, thank you very much.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you. All right, folks, stick around for Barry Richard coming up next. Then after Barry, the great Howie Carr, who, by the way, has offered his studios as a debate for the Republican candidates looking to be the governor. Will they agree? I know Shortsleeve already has, so Will Minogue. Stick around for Howie Carr after Barry Richard. Bye-bye. See you tomorrow.